important principle that is. But that's not what we're going to do here tonight. We're not going to study that particular part. We're going to look at the next part of that verse in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, which says, "But exhorting one another." But exhorting one another. Hebrews is one of the most fascinating books. We've studied it. We did a whole, I think it was a whole year, studying, walking the book of Hebrews, verse by verse. Fascinating book. We don't know who it was written by. We don't know when it was written exactly. We don't even really know who it was written to, aside from saved Jews. We don't know the circumstances surrounding this letter. And it seems like there's a bit of mystery that hangs over the book of Hebrews. But we know that it was written in general. Generally, it was written to Jews who had come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were Jews by birth and Christians by faith. Jews by birth, Hebrews by birth, and Christians by faith. Being born a Jew or being born a Hebrew mean they knew the Torah. They knew the Old Testament. They kept the dietary laws. They sang the Psalms. They observed the feasts. They tithed their income. They read the prophets. They observed the Sabbath day. They were Jews from first to last. But to be a Christian by faith meant that they knew that Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah. They recognized that the whole New Testament was written pointing to this coming Messiah and the coming of Christ, and have identified themselves with, as a believer of Jesus Christ. Now, if you could imagine with me, this act of faith was courageous, because they would have been branded as traitors to the law of Moses. They would have been viewed as compromisers. Their faith was on the firing line every day. Conviction is hard to hold. Compromise is easy. You know that, right? Compromise is easy. You can compromise all day long, right? But conviction's hard to hold. How easy do you think it was to be a Christian Jew? How did they treat the Apostle Paul? How'd they treat Jesus Christ? Let's go there. Were they accepting? Accommodating? Well, when he was feeding them, they liked that. When he was healing them, they liked that. But the moment he spoke the truth, boy, they hated it. How'd they treat Peter? Stephen, exactly. Stoned them to death. For what? For preaching. He was a deacon, just a regular Joe in the church. So if you can imagine, being a Christian Jew was not an insignificant decision. And to be candid, being a Christian today, really being a Christian, is not easy. It's easy to be a worldly Christian. Devin, it's going to be easy. If you don't ever really stand for Christ in your school, you can be a Christian. And I bet you half the people in Mokulteo are Christian. But are they really Christian? Did I say it right, Brother Matt? He always gets after me for mispronouncing Mokulteo.
Right? It's easy to be marginal. It's easy to be worldly, but really to stand for Christ takes conviction.
They were battling every day. It was nonstop. It was warfare day in and day out. And that's what you read when you read Hebrews chapter 10. Paul, or the writer, I think it was Paul, but the writer of Hebrews, I don't know. In verse 24, he says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The preacher I was under before I came out here called this the lettuce chapter, because you got a lot of lettuce here. You see all the lettuce? Not real lettuce, like created Alfie's today, but fake lettuce. The words, let us, verse 22, let us. Verse 23, let us. Verse 24, let us. Right? Over and over and over again, let us do these things. Let us, verse number 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Let us not, right? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but rather exhorting one another. Let us hold fast the profession, verse 23. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. What is the writer here saying? We are to fix our mind on that word consider in verse 24 is not just, give some consideration. No, it's to fix your mind on an idea. It's the idea of like a radar locking on to an object. Right, you know? We got tone, right? Watch too much Top Gun as a boy, right? That trilling sound, you know? And that idea of consider is to lock on, and it is to strategize how we can, provoke. And that doesn't mean like brothers and sisters provoking one another, husbands and wives provoking one another. Maybe. It's the idea of spurring. It's the idea of encouraging. It's the idea of wanting to see more of what? Love and good works from one another. It's not the idea of picking a fight. It's the positive sense of provoke. We're to find a strategy that enables us to deliberately provoke one another to love and to good works. Boy, that's a bit of a departure from what we normally are provoking one another to do, right? To provoke, find a strategy, lock on to something that helps you, enables you to deliberately provoke someone to love and to good works. Number two, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I evidently, there was a great temptation amongst those first century Jewish believers, pressure from their friends, from their family, from the synagogue, not to gather with other believers, not to attend those regular gatherings. And then, this idea of exhortation. I looked up the word exhortation both in Webster's 1828 as well as Strong's Dictionary, and I want to give you that definition now. Exhorting is to incite, very similar to provoke, incite to good deeds by words or arguments, encouraging, counseling. In the Strong's, it says this. It says, to call near. I thought that was interesting. To call near, to invite, to invoke, to beseech, to call for comfort, desire, entreaty, or prayer. We're called to exhort one another. Here, think about that word encouragement. Just think of the structure of that word. Encourage. Right? What does that literally mean? That's not a trick question, I promise. Encourage. To literally instill courage into someone else. To impart courage into them. This idea of the word encourage is the idea of coming to the aid or the assistance of someone else. If you could imagine with me a weary traveler walking down a highway with a heavy load on his shoulders. His head is low, his shoulders are stooped, his knees are a little wobbly, his feet barely moving, each step, right, is agony. As he walks, he staggers and wobbles. Man, at every step, it looks like he's going to fall down. He's going to stumble. You can see that he's not going to make it for long. So what do? You run alongside. You lift the load from his shoulders. You place the load on your own. And then you put your arm around him and say, "It's all right, brother. I'll help you make it."
together you make it down the road where only one would have failed. That's encouragement, coming along aside another person to help him in a moment of need. I remember Jesus was encouraged on his path to the cross.
Right. Yep.
When, right? Was it Simon was called to bear the cross?
Right. Yep.
Back in World War II, the recruiting posters for the U.S. Army had Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
He was pointing at you, saying, I'm looking for you. I want you, a few good men.
Yeah.
My dad, actually, for VBS, they had a military theme a couple of years ago, which somehow ended up on my desk at home. They actually took my dad's face. I got to bring it in. Y'all can enjoy it. They put my dad's face on one of those posters.
Oh, that'd be good.
It looks pretty good, actually. I'm like, hey, you know. Imagine, if you would, with me tonight. I've got a poster up here. The poster is this. Needed a few good encouragers.
Yeah.
Encouragement is fundamental to the Christian faith. Why? Because everybody's having a hard time with one
right.
another or another. We're all like that straggler, that man under a heavy burden walking down the road. There's so much negativity. There's so much despair in this world. I've met people that are never happy. There's never any joy. Maybe you've heard the story of the man who entered the monastery. You all know what a monastery is, right? It's a religious organization or a place where yeah. people go and they take a vow. It's not Christian necessarily. Mm-hmm. But generally, it's Catholic or Buddhist, or
yeah.
right. They've got some sort of monastery, and so anyway, they got this monastery. This guy enjoyed it. It's a very Spartan place. It was concrete floors and cold biscuits and hard beds and the works. And one of the rules is that the monks, the members of this monastery, had to keep absolute silence. They could speak only two words every
yeah.
5 years. Boy, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Well, this old boy, he entered the monastery. He was silent for 5 years, didn't say a thing. When the time for his review came up, the head monk, his manager monk, said to him, well, what do you think?
Yeah, come on.
With two words, I don't know what two words he said. The man said, food bad. Well, the superior blessed him, said, well, it's good to know, go back to your work. 5 years later, his time came up again, and his superior asked him for his two words, and he said, bed hard. 5 more years passed, and the superior once again asked him for his two words, and he said, I quit. He said, the superior responded, well, that didn't surprise me. You've been complaining ever since you got here.
That's good.
Right? Yeah. We all know people like that. They're fine people. Most of the time, they're great folks, but if you talk to them long enough, they're going to start complaining. There's some folks like that. I sort of just try to go the other way. You say, well, that's why you've been avoiding me, Pastor. No, I promise you, that's not it. We live in angry times. We live in difficult times. We live in times of despair. We live in times where it's tough. There are times where we, especially with the internet, right? We write things that we would never say in person. You ever notice that? You know, I owned an internet forum for about 8 years. It's called the Fundamental Forums. I'd never met such an angry group of people. But they'd say some of the nastiest things about other Christians. I ended up selling it. Somebody else's headache for a while. Go on Facebook. Yeah, don't, but anyway. Go on Twitter. Right? Go on these social media. Boy, people just say the nastiest things.
Yeah.
The same people wouldn't say boo to you if they say, right, they do too chicken.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. Here's a good rule of thumb. You kids ready? Don't ever say anything online that you wouldn't say in person.
That's right.
Then you won't get in trouble.
Don't ever say anything online that you don't want to see in 5 or 10 or 15 years.
Well, that's the truth, ain't it? What, the PM of Canada? He's learning that lesson, didn't he?
You got all these pictures of him in blackface. I love it because they've been lecturing us about racism for years. And look at these guys.
Right?
Clowns.
And what do you see? All this anger, all this hatred. And at times, you know, we have to confront error with truth, don't we? And sometimes we got to say hard things. Sometimes we have to speak the truth even when it will elicit an angry response. But even in those times, we need the Holy Spirit to make sure that we're responding in the right way. God did not call you to be an agitator.
Yep.
Amen. All right? God did not call you to be, right,
yeah,
the angry Christian. But unfortunately, a lot of Christians are. I'll tell you, you'd be better off just to get rid of social media than to stay all riled up all the time. Turn the TV off. If you watch more, tell you, you watch enough Fox News, CNN, whatever else you watch, your gonna get upset.
That's right.
You say, are you staying? Stick your head in the sand? No, I get the Wall Street Journal every day at my house. I look through the paper. I generally know what's going on. I can't barely watch TV. Right? News. Listen to the radio. I used to listen to Rush and some of these other conservatives. I can't hardly because I just get... It's not good for my soul.
That's right.
It's important to be an encourager. Mark Twain once said, I can live for a week off of one good compliment. George Adams said, encouragement is the oxygen of the soul. There's an old Japanese proverb that says, one kind word can warm 3 winter months. Even the world understands how important encouragement is. Let's go back to our text. Hebrews 10:25, we're challenged to exhort one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. As you see the day approaching. What day? It's the day of the Lord.
Yeah.
The day of the Lord's return. How will they see it approaching? Well, Luke 21, Jesus even exhorts the Christians there to not be fools, to not be taken by surprise, to know the Lord is coming back. Do we know the exact moment of His return? No. But we know He's returning soon.
Yeah.
It's imminent. It's been imminent since this day. In chapter 21, verse 28, Jesus said, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We know that the people that were being written to here were tempted to turn back. They were in the middle of a battle, and they needed courage. And they could take courage because they knew the Lord would soon return. And as it becomes more intense and as it becomes more difficult to stand for Christ, then we must be encouraged. It's absolutely essential. What are the two areas of encouragement that you ought to be providing? And we ought to be providing one to another. That's in verse 24. We ought to be providing encouragement to love and good works. Love motivates in the area of attitude. Good works move in the area of action. We must encourage people to live and in a positive way of thinking and in a positive way of living. You're in battle, spiritual battle. The heat, the smoke fill the air. The bullets are whizzing over your head. You're under tremendous pressure. Don't know if you're going to make it. There are two great temptations of the soul. Number one, there's a temptation to get angry. Number two, there's a temptation to give up. Love will help you not get angry.
That's right.
And good works will help you not to give up. And so we need to find ways to encourage one another. In those very areas, in those times of crisis, we ought to exhort one another to love and to good works. We need to find ways to say, don't get angry, don't give up. And that's what encouragement is all about. That is a ministry
that you can do. You can start in your home. Don't get angry. Love God. Love other Christians.
Right.
Don't give up. Don't quit. Do right. Anybody ever heard of an EQ? It's often referred to as an emotional quotient. I want to change it. We're going to call it the encouragement quotient. Here are 10 questions to ask yourself to see how you're doing. I want you, if you've got your pen, write down yes or no. I'd like you to answer these, all right? If you don't, that's fine. Maybe you can keep track in your mind. It's just 10. Yes or no. I need you to count how many yeses and how many noes, okay? We're going to see how high your EQ is. How encouraging are you? Number one, do my words of encouragement, you ready? Do my words of encouragement outweigh my words of criticism? You say, oh, Pastor, this isn't going to be good. Yes or no? All right, if you put yes, mark in one yes. All right. Number two, ready? Am I uplifting to be around? When people are, what I mean by that is when people are around me, do they walk away encouraged? Number three, you ready? All right, you got your yeses or noes? You kids track them? All right. Number three, do words of praise come easily to me? Is it easy to find things to praise people about? Number four, would those who know me best consider me an encouraging person? If you left this room and we all asked, we did a survey about Sister Amanda. Right? And I'd ask my wife, and I'd ask Tim, and I'd ask Junior, and I'd ask David, and I'd ask Emma, and I'd ask Brother Barry, and I'd ask Sister Debbie and DJ, and I'd ask your husband. No, I'd skip him. I'd ask her Bethany. If I asked them, is Amanda an encourager? Would they say yes or no? I want you to think about that. All right? You got it? Counting? Here we go. All right? Number five. Do I pass along good news and swallow the gossip? Stepping on toes now. Mm-hmm. Number six, ready? Would I rather give praise or receive praise? Yes or no? Yes, I would rather give praise. Or no, I wouldn't. Number seven, do I focus on the positive things about people? Number eight, ready? Can you think of someone who needs encouragement right now?
Yep.
If you can, it's a no, by the way. All right? Number nine, do I pray for the difficult people in my life? And lastly, have I been diligent to encourage those closest to me, my children, my spouse, my students, my coworkers, my close friends? If you answered yes to eight or more of those, I'd say you're an encouraging person. Less than eight, seven or less, you've been drinking too much vinegar. Probably need to switch to Gatorade. You know you can drink vinegar, by the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for the heart.
Mm. Yeah. That'd make you grouchy. You ever heard that old Western song? Home, home on the range, right? The deer and the antelope range. Play.
Play.
Where seldom is heard an encouraging word, the skies are not cloudy all day. Where seldom is heard a what?
Discouraging
word. Isn't it interesting that we're better at encouraging people we hardly know than the ones that are closest?
Right.
We got to be careful even with our own children. It's tempting to put them down. Tempting to intimidate them. Tempting to criticize them in front of others. Are we building up our children? Hey! You listening? Kids? Are you encouraging one to another? David, are you listening? Junior, are you listening? Bethany, are you listening? This is for you. Are you encouraging one another, building one another up? Do people find comfort when they're around you, Emma? William, do people find comfort when they're around you? Or are they trying to get away from you as quick as they can? How about it, Desmond? All right, did your papa walk away after your conversation? He said, man, Dan was such an encouragement to me tonight. It ought to be. That's a good question to ask yourself, isn't it? When you walk away from church, can you honestly say, I really really tried to be an encouragement to my brothers and sisters here tonight? It's tough. It is. It's a battlefield out there. So let me give you some practical things. Ready? Start each day. Here's a goal. Ready? Start each day by saying something encouraging to everyone in the family. This is going to be hard. Ready? You ever had one of those uh-huh mornings?
Yeah.
Would you like some coffee?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Don't forget your lunch. Where's my geometry book? Can I borrow $100, Dad? Would you like a dead rat with your scrambled eggs? We all have mornings like that.
Yeah.
You can't let it be a habit.
Yeah.
I make a habit to try to be, when I get to work, to thank the people cleaning the kitchens at work. They look at me like it's awesome. Now, do I always encourage my own family? No, I fail at that sometimes. A lot of times. But every day, you get up, think about, man, can I say something encouraging today? John, tomorrow, I want you to get up. Say, how can I say an encouraging word to Devin? And Devin, when you get up, how can I say an encouraging word to my papa? Amen, Will? You get up tomorrow and say, okay, very first thing I'm going to say to anyone is something encouraging. Not yell at Dave to get out of bed. Not yell at the dog, shut up! And the dogs need encouragement. Amen?
Dogs need.
They do. Actually, it's more about your attitude than anything else.
Yeah.
Just think about it. Number two, ready? Before you say a word of criticism, and sometimes they're warranted, pray for that person. So that way, if you do have to criticize them, you're doing so in a loving way. It'll change your attitude, won't it? So daddies, husbands, before you lay into your wife for something she shouldn't have done, pray, God, help me as I say these words.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do it in a
right.
loving way. You might just find yourself shutting your mouth. Mamas, same there. Alright, wives, pray for your husband. Pray for your kids. Get ready to lay into them. And sometimes, a lot of times, kids need to get laid into. Need to get lined out. Pray for them. But I want to say this in a way that honors you. I want to encourage them. I don't want to discourage them. Because even in criticism, you can encourage. You know that, right? There's a lot of times I've been dealing with my sons. I'll have to say some hard things to them. Call and tell them, hey, you're acting like a fool. But then follow it up with some encouragement. Say, listen, you can get past this. We can grow together. Do you like it this way? No. Hey, we don't have, doesn't have to be this way. I don't want it to be this way either. Let's make things right. Let's move forward. We can do this by the grace of God. See, encouraging.
Yeah.
See how that happens?
Right.
And I don't always do it. I'm not standing up here.
I don't have it figured out.
I got it figured out. I just don't always apply. Number three. When you feel the slightest urge to encourage someone, steal something from Nike. You know what it is?
Just do it.
Well, if I do, they'll get a big head. Mm-hmm. You let God worry about that.
Yeah.
Encourage him. Right? So at the moment, hopefully you have this feeling every once in a while. You see your wife doing something good, just encourage her. Don't worry, she's not going to get a big head. All right? It'll pay its dividends. Amen?
Yeah.
It'll pay its dividends. I really work. My kids do something. I try. Not always succeed in this. I try to say thank them. The boys today, they sang. Elizabeth had
a good time.
I said, you know, boys, thank you. That was wonderful.
Yeah, that's good.
That urge. That prompting. That's the Holy Spirit saying, say something. They need to be encouraged. Put aside your work. Get up from your desk. Pick up a phone. Write a note. Send a text. Pat someone on the back. Say a kind word to lift someone's spirit. Try doing it for a week. Who knows? It might become a permanent habit. I want to close with this thought. In this ministry of encouragement, there's a truth. You ready? The more you encourage others, the more you are encouraged. The more you encourage others, the more you are encouraged. You know, encouragement is not something that you lose when you give it to others. Right? Normally, you give something to others, you lose some of it yourself, right? You realize it's not that way with encouragement? Think about what I mean.
Yeah.
Right? If I was you, Brother Barry, I'd say, Brother Barry, and I'm so blessed, you're so thankful to church, you're such an encouragement, you're engaged in the message, thank you. Did I just lose something there? No, in fact, I gained.
That's right.
I gained your appreciation, right? I myself are encouraged, right?
That's right.
You're not losing. Like you said, well, Pastor, you know, my encouragement account's pretty low. Mm-hmm. If your encouragement account's pretty low, just start encouraging. It pays dividend. You'll reap the reward. And we need to do this because we see the Lord coming. We know those dark days are ahead. And as darkness descends, Christians must become great encouragers. Our church needs encouragers. Amen. But DJ, our church needs encouragers. And you have been. Man, I was excited. Boy, that Wednesday, you said, hey, Pastor, we're going to go. I'm going to be there. We're going to hand out tracts. That encouraged me, man. I need that. Amen? And I'm trying to encourage you by saying that. See how it works? Man, reinforce the things that you want to see from people, the good things, the right things. I'll close with the story. The story's told of a little second grade boy. He's trying out for a part in school play, and when the day came for the auditions, his mother took him to the school and then waited outside for him to come out. She was nervous because she knew he couldn't sing very well, he couldn't act, he couldn't dance, couldn't memorize. She was surprised when he came out 45 minutes later and had just the biggest smile on his face. And oh, her heart leapt within her, and she said, "How'd it go, honey?" He said, "It went really good, Mom. It went great. Guess what? I've been chosen to clap and cheer." You'll get that in a minute. I've been chosen to clap and cheer. We've all been chosen by God. So, Pastor, you know, I mean, look at me, little old me. What can I do? You know, I'm sort of a nobody from nowhere and don't know nothing. And you can clap and cheer. You can clap and cheer. Right? You can encourage one another to do right. Amen?
Yeah, good.
Everybody can do that.
Right.
Oh, you know, it's just not my personality. Oh, get off your high horse and
pretend
of your pride. You sure want others to encourage you, though, don't you? You reap what you sow.
That's right.
Hey, let's get around the business of exhorting. You want to say, Pastor, why? You know what? What makes people want to come back to a church? If they leave encouraged, first of all, they got to be saved. I'll tell you, if someone's not saved, they're not going to want to be in a good Bible-believing church. Just not. But if they are, man, if they come away encouraged and blessed and just right, they don't want to come back. I'll take more of that, please. It's time to clap and cheer. Let's work on that this week. Amen? All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, it's a blessing to gather together tonight. Lord, I want to confess the sin of criticism and discouragement that has proceeded out of my mouth even this week. Lord, I want to ask your forgiveness. Lord, I ask forgiveness on behalf of our church. I know there are others here, Lord, who feel the same way. Lord, may we look to encourage one another to love and good love. To provoke one another, to incite one another, to love God more, to love souls more, and to do right. When we feel like giving up, when we feel like getting angry, love.
do right. I pray that Faith Baptist Church would be a place where people can come and be encouraged in the Christian walk. Not just by the preaching, not just by the worship, but by one another. Thank you for those in our church that are encouragements, that are a blessing. And Lord, may we learn from their example. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this week, never has heard a discouraging word, but wouldn't that be a blessing if that was your house? Home on the range. Amen. All right, let's be dismissed. Lord bless you. See you Wednesday.